There's no bottom to that abyss. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yurt Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Today is Election Day 2018. It's November 6th, 2018, Tuesday. And we have Election Day dysphoria across the nation. So we're going to talk about, well, two things you could remember from today's show. One is, there's no bottom to that abyss. And two is that if it was on the ballot today, one of the main teachings here at Bob and Yurt Live regarding politics, nationwide, would it pass or would it fail? One of our number one teachings, and that is that democracy is bad. So would it pass or would it fail? Well, there is a large survey just published at Axios. And they say the headline is, only half of Americans have faith in democracy. So I think we're doing a pretty good job here at Bob and Yurt Live. I mean, you don't get this stuff from Dennis Prager, really. You certainly don't get it from NBC or Fox News. But here at Bob and Yurt Live, we have taught for decades now, going on 28 years, 5 days a week, when the topic comes up, we've taught that democracy and also a republic, and what conservatives say that we have, a representative republic, which is just a kissing cousin to democracy. They're so similar that these are destructive forms of government and should not be supported, not by Christians, not by anyone. So we want to talk about that, and I want to give you arguments against democracy. At church on Sunday at Denver Bible Church, we went through the biblical arguments against democracy. There are also the political arguments against it. And on today's show, I'd like to give you political arguments against democracy. And on our website, kgov.com/democracy, you could right now see the biblical arguments against it. They're all listed there. You could listen to the program we did a while back. And so what we need to do is add to that list the political arguments against democracy. So we'll do that. And then the second thing from today's program, while most of the country is going through its election day dysfunction, another point from Sunday morning, the sermon at Denver Bible Church. And by the way, you're welcome to attend if you're local. If you can't be in Denver on Sunday mornings to attend Denver Bible Church, you can enjoy our Sunday schools. They're videotaped and audio recordings available. And also, the sermons are available. You could just go to kgov.com, kgov.com, click on the store, and then check out the subscriptions. And of course, that helps us continue to reach more people with the message, as it might also encourage you. So something pointed out Sunday morning at Denver Bible Church was that there were Germans in the 1930s and 40s who looked at the economic catastrophe that their country had lived through. World War I, the collapse of their currency, their hyperinflation. Think about Venezuela, and you have an idea of what the people of Germany lived through. And so when they saw that the socialist had a plan for their economy, and the National Socialist really did quite a job of stabilizing their currency and turned their nation into an economic machine, an industrial force to be reckoned with, so that hundreds of thousands of German families became prosperous. And so they compared, you know, their former life economically with the prosperity that they had under Adolf Hitler, and they thought, well, he might support killing the innocent, but look how much better things are for our family. We're able to feed our kids. And so that is a calculation that God does not authorize us to make. He doesn't say that it's okay to support a leader who will kill the innocent if you will be better off economically. He doesn't say that if your neighbors will be better off economically, go ahead and ignore the fact that your leader kills the innocent, intentionally kills the innocent. And so Proverbs chapter 16, verse 8, in fact, this was the only verse we used up on the screen at Denver Bible Church. There were other Bible verses in the sermon, but this is the only one we put up on the screen. It says, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. And we were ready for the sermon, and the guy in the back who works, you know, the AV booth, audiovisual, he had about 20 verses that I was prepared to use during the sermon. I had my sermon notes, and I said from the pulpit, I said, well, with Election Day coming up in 2 days, I talked to one of the elders of the church just minutes ago, and I've decided to toss my sermon notes, and I literally took the stack of papers that had my notes and just dropped them off the side of the pulpit. And I said that instead we're going to use a single verse, Proverbs 16:8, and we're going to talk about the election. So there's no bottom to that abyss. If someone says, well, look at economically, look at militarily, we are so much better off than we would be otherwise, so therefore, I support this leader, even if he's given $1 billion to the nation's number one child-killing business, Planned Parenthood, even if he nominates judges who promise to continue killing innocent children, regardless of all that, look at my pocketbook, we're better off financially. And we have a stronger military. And we're more respected in the world, and so on. Whatever the reasons. So the Germans who did this, including all the pastors, all the members of Lutheran churches, Catholic churches, who pretty much, for the most part, were silent or supportive regarding the National Socialists, how'd it work out for them? Did it work out well? Their calculation was, well, even though this leader might not be perfect, there are a lot of benefits to supporting him. That was their calculation. And you don't do evil that good might come of it. So democracy, today we have yet another experiment with democracy here in America. And I'd like to share with you some of our political argument against democracy. Again, the biblical argument we have on our website, kgov.com/democracy. So some of the political argument against it, and somebody at church on Sunday who's just come a few times came up to me after the service and said, yeah, but if democracy is bad, if as Christians we shouldn't support democracy, then how do we get our governing leaders? And I said, ah, that's a secret. Sorry, can't tell you that until you've come to church at least 20 times. No, we have discussed that on the air. We've proposed a new constitution for America. But let's right now focus on democracy itself, a political argument against democracy. Government should protect minorities from the majority. That's where you begin. So in Colorado, on our ballot, yesterday, Doug and I, we aired the number one best election show in America. And I know it was because that's the title of the show, right? It's like, hear Ann Coulter demolish a liberal professor, you know, that kind of YouTube video. So you know she demolished the professor because that's the title of the YouTube video. So the number one best election show in America. And we went through the ballot initiatives and we saved a lot of time because some of them are real long to read. And it said, like Proposition XYZ, whatever, shall the taxes in the state of Colorado be increased for And Doug would say, that, nope, forget it. Vote no on that one. It doesn't matter what they say they want to increase the taxes for. We just oppose it. Well, one of the propositions, they want to increase taxes in Colorado for the rich, soak the rich, tax the rich. And so the majority, being everyone who's not as rich as that, get to say, let's take more money from people who have more money and let's use it for the things we want to use it for. So that's called stealing. That's theft. That's plunder. Only with democracy, majority rules, and even with a representative republic like we have, you get to do that. You get to steal money from your neighbor and not risk going to jail. And by the way, that kind of thinking, the thinking of the left and of many Republicans, that kind of thinking could produce Venezuela in America. There is no such thing as a nation so great, so strong, so powerful that it could not implode. There is no such thing. When financial counselors saying, well, this return is guaranteed, when they say that in their presentation, I always notch them down a bit in credibility when they say that. I know what they mean. In the context of a national economy that has not collapsed, most things being equal, you have this guaranteed interest rate, this guaranteed return. But really, there is no guarantee that a nation will not implode as it's adopting left-wing liberal policies, interventionist, government economic interventionist policies. So what's happening in Venezuela could happen in Colorado. It could happen nationwide in America. So government should protect minorities from the majority. Does that make sense? Is that a function of government to protect minorities from the majority? So if you have majority rule, it is a systemic failure. It's an inherent failure for one of the primary functions of government, which is to protect the minority from the majority, but you've given the majority rule over the minority. And why would it be, if you have some issue on the ballot or somebody's running to be governor or senator or president, and they get one more vote than the alternative, well, why is it then that that side has the authority to tell the others how they have to live their lives? Why would that be? Why would that be? What if the majority is evil? What if the majority is wrong? So the government should protect minorities from majority rule, not impose it upon them as our laws do here in Colorado and here in the country. It's much more likely that the majority will exploit a minority than that a minority will misuse the majority. You get it? So the real danger is especially multiplied by a democratic form of government that the majority will harm a minority if you have majority rule. Democracy empowers the majority to abuse any minority, the rich, white males, Christians, and so on. Any minority, democracy empowers the majority to abuse any minority. Democracy is mob rule, slightly slowed. 51% has no inherent right to compel the 49%. Democracies use words like politics and politician as pejoratives. Is that true or false? For the public school teachers tuning in right now, a pejorative, that's a word that expresses contempt, right? So if you call someone a politician, that's an insult, isn't it? An insult to call him a politician? It's almost as bad as calling him a lawyer. No, wait a minute, it's worse. And so if a democracy uses words like politics and politician as pejoratives, don't you think you should reconsider the whole idea? The larger the committee, the more unreliable its performance. So democracy leads poorly. You get that? The larger the committee, the more unreliable its performance. So democracy is not a good form of government because the committee is the size of the voting population. The masses hear only sound bites. So by democracy, this aids disingenuous, flattering politicians because the masses hear only sound bites. There is a conservative Christian, real neat guy, love to hang out with him, beautiful family, amazing. I believe they're a homeschool family. He's running today. He wants to be in the state legislature, the state Senate. And his website tells you almost nothing. For moral values, right? For moral values, you go on his website and you look for moral values, and it has a photograph of his family. What a beautiful family. Beautiful family. I mean, Barack Obama could do the same exact thing, right? Moral values. Look at those beautiful kids. How could you have two more beautiful kids? How could you? It's not possible. But it tells you nothing. Nothing. And it's the coward's way to try to lord it over your neighbor. Oh, sure, they think they're being wise. They think they're being as wise as fox and as gentle as doves. Because, you know, in my district, really, Democrats normally win. So if we tell them that it's wrong to kill innocent children, then I'm not likely to get any power. I'm not likely to be able to rule over them if I tell them the fundamental principles by which I would govern. Do you see the cowardice? And do you see even pragmatically? So many have been convinced that, well, it's not pragmatic to tell them the truth up front. You have to trick them, you know, into ending child killing. You have to trick them into it. And so how's that working out for us? How'd it work out for the German father who went along with more money in his paycheck? How'd that work out for him? How's it working out for us after 50 years? How's it working out for us? It doesn't work. It backfires. It could very well be that the road to the restoration of basic morality in America passes through 10,000 election losses. It could very well be that the road to victory passes through 10,000 election losses. It would be like when we were fighting World War II and the Nazis, that we refused to go into any battle where we might have a soldier get killed. Now, how would that have worked? So today we have Christian political advisors that pretend that if we soft sell our moral principles, that there's a better chance that we're going to have victory. Victory for the innocent child. Victory for family. Victory for marriage. Guess what? Our political advisors, the ones who work for the conservative Republicans, they don't even believe in any of that stuff anymore. They don't think they have to protect the family or marriage or the unborn child. They've been compromising for so long, they're now the Democrats that we were fighting against 25 years ago. That's who they've become. And so it could very well be that any actual path toward a restoration of some degree of sanity in America goes through 10,000 electoral losses, but we're scared to death to have the courage of our convictions. So our politicians show photographs and use sound bites because they want your precinct to vote for them, right? But Doug McBurney and I on the show yesterday, we asked, would you want your precinct to decide your medical treatment? No? Well, then should they decide the nation's future? Monetary policy, foreign policy, criminal justice, these are all too important to be directed by amateurs who are processing cliches. Morally, the majority sinks to the level permitted by government, morally. So then, how about majority rule? Think about that. That circular failure. Morally, the majority sinks to the level permitted by government. If the majority is the government, then nothing can stop a nation's moral decline. Authority flows downhill, not uphill. So democracy is unnatural and promotes rebellion and egocentrism, pride. Children don't vote to give their parents authority over them. Elections waste fortunes, right? This current election, $5 billion is being spent to decide who is going to rule over us. $5 billion. Think of the lost productivity far in excess of campaign expenses. Think of the lost productivity of hundreds of millions of people being obsessed with politics. And then all the legal bribery that takes place. You know, last century, democracy empowered the Nazis, and democratic socialists slaughtered tens of millions of people around the world. Tens of millions were slaughtered by their own governments. It's called democide when governments kill their own people in mass systematically. And the number is many tens of millions of people were killed by their own left-leaning social democracies in the 1900s. In war, leaders emboldened by popular vote will sacrifice lives unnecessarily, carrying out the majority will. You know, go back in history more than 2,000 years ago, Cicero, he said that government officials, that they gain favor with the people by giving them other men's property. That's more than 2,000 years ago. Exactly true today. Seneca said democracy is more cruel than wars or tyrants. Completely true. The detestable desire to lord it over your neighbor incites the worst of men to campaign for office. You get that? The detestable desire to lord it over your neighbor incites the worst of men to campaign for office. Democracy, a left-wing idea loved by modern liberals, appeals to those who are obsessed with control. The bigger the committee, the fewer are those who control it. Democracy is mostly a facade. Democracy enables a few to manipulate the many, and it easily conceals the true rulers. Democracy, the most divisive form of government, sets neighbor against neighbor. Think about that. And I know conservatives say we don't live in a democracy. We live in a representative republic. Same thing. We vote for the president. We vote for the legislative branch. The judicial branch, the judges are nominated by the executive that we vote for, and they're confirmed by the senators who we vote for. And we vote in our states for judges and amendments and laws directly, propositions, initiatives, and so on. So we live in a thoroughgoing democracy, and we should recognize that democracy is the most divisive form of government. Hard to have a Thanksgiving meal when you have a large family. Thankfully, our family is overwhelmingly Christian conservative. And at our family gatherings, I can say for decades, they have been blessings beyond measure. Whether it's getting together for Christmas or New Year's or Thanksgiving or July 4th or on and on, or birthdays and anniversaries. I know because I've done this show for going on 28 years. I hear from audience members, their family gets together, and who's drinking, who gets drunk, who's in a fight, who gets arrested, who catastrophes. And I'm so thankful of the incredible blessing that we've had with all of our kids. We have seven sons and so many grandkids and cousins, and oh, it's just, and grandparents. It couldn't be more of a blessing. But democracy is the most divisive form of government, and it sets neighbor against neighbor and even brother against brother. At least if you have, let's say you have an evil king, right? Then everybody could agree that they hate the king. At least there's unity. Everybody agrees they hate the king. It's better to live under one tyrant than a million, even if you count yourself among them. History teaches, through man's inhumanity toward man, that men are not basically good, but inherently evil. And of course, Jesus taught that, that the majority is evil. Via democracy, the morality of the average man pulls government downward. One bet against the gaming house, like in Las Vegas, a casino, one bet against the house might win. And likewise, one leader may be benevolent, but not millions. No, not millions. You make enough bets against the house, you're going to lose. And you have enough people on the committee, it's going to be evil. That's why large corporations inevitably become left-wing. Right? Large, let's say big data. Let's say the big social networks, Google and Facebook and Twitter and Microsoft and on, name them all. And they're all the enemy. Why is that? Just a coincidence? Can't by coincidence one of them be good? But if you take the average, if you bet once against the house, you might win. You bet a million times, you're going to lose. That's why casinos make money. And it's the same thing with morality. The morality of the average man pulls the government down, in fact, toward hell itself. So as the wagers multiply, the chance of loss increases. And as you increase the number of voters, you increase the likelihood for wickedness. The majority is not good, as liberals contend, but evil. And it steers a nation in its wicked way. Democracy eventually decriminalizes stealing, they call it welfare, murder, they call it abortion, euthanasia, adultery, and you know, and so on, and even of the Ten Commandments that are the foundation of a criminal justice system, do not murder, do not steal, don't commit adultery, don't bear false witness. The don't bear false witness one was one that it was always hardest to show that the left embraced. But not since Kavanaugh, right? Since Brett Kavanaugh, their lust to bear false witness. If the Democratic senators knew that the accusations against Kavanaugh were false, it would not have changed their behavior in the least. Because their lust for being false witnesses was consistent with all their bloodlust and their lust. Hey, this is Bob Enyart, hoping you survive Election Day. May God bless you. Have you heard of the Plot Manuscript? It's 330 pages, an overview of the entire Bible. People who have read it have said it's helped them understand and enjoy the Word of God. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. I wrote The Plot years ago. We sell it at a money-back guarantee, $49.95 plus shipping and handling. And if you don't feel that you really understand the Bible now, we want to give you your money back. So go online to order it at kgov.com, or call us at 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278.